Good day, friends. Welcome back to Bible Sunshine. It's hard to believe, but this is Bible Sunshine number 35. 7 weeks we have been looking at the Word of God together, and in some ways the time has gone very quickly. Other ways, I'm sure it seems like it's dragging on, but this is a wonderful opportunity, and we are so glad that we can share the Word of God together. Join me in turning to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. We want to continue our study there, but first, let's pray together. Father, thank you for this opportunity to study your word. We humbly bow in your presence, asking for your spirit to teach us, to enlighten us, and to apply the scriptures to our hearts. We pray, Lord, that you will bless your word, and thank you that you've promised that your word will not return to you void. So we pray that the word will accomplish your purpose today. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. Well, in Philippians chapter 2, I would like to begin a new section here, starting at verse 12. And I'm going to read verses 12 through 18. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. Now, I'd like you to look in your Bibles, and let's do a little inductive observation here. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. And there we have, therefore. Therefore, and then we have these since or if assumptions, if there is any consolation, or if or since there is any comfort of love, fellowship of the Spirit. So Paul is exhorting the believers there to unity. And then in verse 5, he says, let this mind be in you. Therefore, in verse 1, connects us also back to chapter 1, for example, verse 27. Let your conduct be worthy of the gospel. And there's a way to do that. That's by being unified because of the fellowship of the Spirit and all the things that we see there in verse 1. And now we come to verse 12. And what's the first word? Therefore. So he has just taught us the wonders of the Lord Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, and that at his name every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And understanding that in our lives should do something. So we come to verse 12, and he's building, he's drawing an application here. In light of what Jesus has done, here's what we're to do. So this whole passage connects together. And he says, as you have always obeyed. The Philippians were known for their obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. He said, when I was there with you, you were obedient, and I want you to continue that even though I'm away from you. Sometimes people do the right thing when they're watched, but quickly turn and do the wrong thing when they're not watched. And we can have that mindset as Christians. When the boss is away, the employees play. And that should not be our frame of reference. We should understand that God is always watching us. I remember a military deployment to Fort Dix, New Jersey. And we were camping there in the sand, and it was the first night we were getting set up in this big tent where we would sleep. And there was a man, an Air Force man, that had been on the mobility line and had let out a string of foul words and language. It happened to be that I, as the chaplain, was in the same tent with this man. And when we were setting up our things there in that tent, he turned to me and said, "Oh, sir, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that you're a chaplain, and my speech back there, I'm sorry about that." And I said to him, "Hey, man, it's okay. Someone else is always listening." And you know, we need to understand that as believers, the Lord Jesus Christ is always watching. So we need to be obedient to him, whether any spiritual leader is watching us or not. We need to be doing the right thing, whether we see a spiritual authority around us or not, because God is always watching. He is omnipresent. And Paul said, "You've been obedient when I was there," but now he's away in Rome. And he says, "I want you to obey in my absence. I want you to do the right thing, even though I'm not there." So we see in this passage that genuine salvation based on the finished work of Christ in verses 5 through 11, genuine salvation produces a genuine life. It produces a real Christianity. And so Paul adds these words in verse 12, "Work out your own salvation." Mind those words carefully. Work out your own salvation. Notice what it does not say. It does not say work for your own salvation. Why is that? Because in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, we see and know that salvation is by grace through faith. It is apart from works. It is a gift of God. And we can't boast because it's all of God's grace. So we do not work for our salvation. That would be a direct contradiction to Ephesians 2, 8, 9 that says it's not by works. It would be a direct contradiction to Titus 3, 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. I was talking to a man who was prominent in a well-known cult, a cult that taught salvation by works. And he quoted from one of his authoritative scriptures and said that you're saved by grace after all you can do. And I said, "You know, I have a problem with that because it's in direct contradiction to scripture." And you know what he said? He said, "Well, it's a matter of degree." Well, no, it's not a matter of degree. If we mix works with salvation, we pollute salvation by grace and destroy it. Let's say that we get on an airplane one day to fly, and the pilot comes on and he says, "Folks, I'm so sorry to inform you, but we ran out of jet fuel. We were 50% full of our fuel tanks, and we ran out of jet fuel." That's the bad news. And then he says, "But here's good news. We topped off the tanks. We just put the water hose there, and we filled them up with water, so we're good to go." You say, "Wait a minute. Let me off this plane. I am not going to try to fly on this plane that has a polluted mixture of jet fuel and water, because this thing is not going to survive." You see, we've destroyed the integrity of that fuel and would make the plane crash. When we add works as a requirement for salvation, we destroy grace. We are not saved by works. It is by God's grace. So Paul is not saying here, work for your salvation. No, he says, work it out, because the grace that saves indeed works. Genuine saving grace causes an effect. It produces fruit. And so Paul said in Ephesians 2:10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." So we are saved by grace through faith, apart from works, and that whole grace by faith, that all produces. So we do work for the Lord, not in order to be saved, but because we are saved. So let me ask you today, friend, have you trusted the finished work of Christ for salvation? Is that settled in your heart and life? Well, then now, let's get busy and work for the Lord and serve him. But maybe someone says, "Yes, I'm a good person. I do a lot of good things." Wait, as my mom used to say, I suppose it was a country expression, you get the cart before the horse. We can't get the cart before the horse. Salvation is by grace. Following that will be good works, but not before that. We are not saved by those works. So if you're trusting in works, will you turn from trusting works and turn to the Lord Jesus and say, "Lord Jesus, here I am in my sin. I acknowledge my sin, but I'm believing your finished work, that you died, were buried, and rose again, and I'm trusting you to save me by your grace." And the Bible says, "Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved." And then after that, enter into a life of service and work for the Lord because you are saved and because you love the Lord. So Paul says here in Philippians 2:12, work out your own salvation. Produce outwardly what has been produced inwardly by God's grace. Actively demonstrate the reality of your faith in Christ. Of course, this comes by the power and energy of the Holy Spirit. It is not fabricated. It is genuine by the work of God. So he says, produce, work out your salvation. Show your obedience to the Lord Jesus. Show that you love him. Show the reality of that faith by living and godly works. It's the people of God that should demonstrate compassion. It's the people of God that should be sharing the message of the gospel. It's the people of God who should be not the complainers and gripers, but those who are intent on loving and serving the Lord and serving others. So he says here, work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. Understand that you operate under the fear of God and be in awe of who he is. You see, when we do that, it doesn't matter whether some spiritual leaders around us or not. It doesn't matter even if there's another Christian around. We understand that God is there and the fear of God is before our eyes. There was a pastor that I knew some years back who had a great ministry, and in his office, there was a little plaque. And it was the words from Genesis, from Hagar, "Thou God seest me." What a great truth. That's working out your salvation. That is, whether someone is present or absent, understanding, God, you see me. You're looking down on me, and so I'm going to be obedient to you. May God help us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. I would like us to pray today for two countries, Senegal, Africa. A country has very few Christians, and Somalia. Somalia is 100% Muslim. It is ranked number 4 on the persecution ranking. A country of about 10 million people. Let's pray for Somalia and for Senegal. Our Father, we come to you today praying for your people that are in these countries, Senegal and Somalia. Lord, they may be so very few, but you know even if there's one or two who belong to you. And we ask, dear Father, for your grace to encourage them. We ask for the power of your Spirit that they would witness for you, that they would share the gospel with their mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters and grandparents and neighbors, and that many would come to know Christ in Senegal and Somalia. And we pray, Lord, for your people that are being persecuted, beaten, arrested, imprisoned, whatever it may be. We pray that you will give them strength and courage. And if it please you, Lord, release them from their bondage. And Father, we ask that you would work mightily around this globe through this pandemic to cause people to turn to you, to cause your people to work out their salvation. And Lord, those Christians that are in America or in other countries who are silent, who are not saying anything as far as a witness or living out their Christian faith, Lord, I pray you would convict them and that they would be strong and bold for you. Help us all to make known the message of the gospel and to show forth the reality of the living Savior. We ask all of this in Jesus' wonderful and living and powerful name. Amen. Dear friend, thank you so much for joining us on Bible Sunshine. Lord willing, we'll gather again next week on Monday. And for any that you have missed, you can go to Sermon Audio, East End Baptist Church Sermon Audio, and find all the past segments of Bible Sunshine. I hope you'll gather with God's people online or however you can and be encouraged. And to all the mothers, God bless you. Happy Mother's Day. God bless you.